The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Brad Holcomb, he's chairman of the ISM's Manufacturing Business Survey Committee. So we welcome you, Brad.
Thanks for having me again, Kathleen. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. And we're also going to have Chris Rupke on the line with us, Brad. He's chief financial economist at Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi, and I know he has a couple of questions for you as well. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hello.
So, Brad, what happened to manufacturing in January? Is it really a slowdown, or is it really just cold weather?
Well, as you pointed out in your intro a few minutes ago, the PMI is still growing. It's at 51.3. That means it's better than December, but it is down 5.2 percentage points. A number of our panelists do comment specifically on the extreme cold weather conditions, which pull down certainly inventories because trucking lanes were simply slowed down. And so that pulled down the PMI. But also a number of comments, as I said, attributing some of their problems to this severe weather, the coldest January in a couple of decades.
Well, is it because it was so widespread, the cold weather? I mean, new orders pulled back. They're still positive, but they're nowhere near as hot as they were. But, I mean, but orders could come to a company from anywhere, right? It's hard to believe that cold weather made such a difference. But I'll believe the guys who said it made a difference if it did.
Well, it had some effect. We don't know exactly how much. Certainly a 13.2 percentage drop is the lowest since 1980. But maybe more importantly, it's the lowest in our current recovery period. Nevertheless, exports is holding pretty firm at 54.5. That represents international demand for our finished products, and that was holding up pretty well. So,
Chris, jump in with your question for Brad.
Yeah, it was quite a bit of a shock today. I wonder what you make of this. If I just pull up a chart of your index going back to 2009, this is the biggest retrenchment. I know we're above 50, that's fine, but this is the biggest retrenchment since we got, I guess it was early in 2011, May, we fell from 58 down to 53 in May 2011.
Right.
And that kind of heralded, if that's the right word, a slowdown in the economy that caused the Fed to eventually give us, Operation QE twist. I wonder if there's something more important in this data today, despite the fact that it's holding above 50. Is it a key turning point, if you will?
Well, it's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, except I will say that this same panel of 350 professionals presented their annual report for this year, their forecasts on December 10th. They're still bullish about the first half. So I think we can potentially expect this to be an anomaly. And impacted to a larger degree than we might think by the weather conditions, but time will tell.
There's also
some very positive comments from the panel.
Give us some of those, Brad. I agree. It seems like you really got a lot of upbeat looks at what's going on.
Yes, from the apparel, leather, and allied products, which is tied to auto as well as others, we're seeing improvements year over year, month to month across most regions and business segments. From the primary metals, which is auto-related, we continue to be busy, working 6 days, 24 hours a day. And a fun one from the transportation equipment business, U.S. government aerospace business is very brisk. So a number of positive, optimistic comments, and there are no negatives in those comments at all, except for the weather-related comments.
Chris Rupke remains on the Ring Central phone line with me this afternoon, Chief Financial Economist at Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi. Chris and I were just asking Brad Holcomb, who is from the Institute for Supply Management. He runs the Business Survey Committee. A couple of questions. Is it really weather that depressed or at least very much slowed down the rate of growth in their index last month? It could be. Could it be a real turning point in the economy? So, Chris, I think it's interesting that, and it's true what Brad said, if you look at the comments, a lot of people mentioned weather being depressing. But I guess the question we both tried to ask him is, okay, you can put some of this off on weather, but as you pointed out, and you could restate it, this is a very substantial deceleration in the history of this series.
Yeah, I mean, you really have to go back to May 2011. Unfortunately, this is a very high-profile economic stat. It's not based on actual sales or orders. It's just based on the survey of respondents, how they think those orders are. But nevertheless, it's kind of the first number for the month, and it doesn't bode well for January. It's fallen the most since it did back in 2011, and as I was trying to ask him, is this a turning point? Because when it fell so much back in May 2011, this index, it did signal a major slowdown in the economy, and the Fed had to come out and announce a new program, quantitative easing program, QE twist, by the end of that year. So, you know, what can I tell you? Stocks were down 47 points at 10 o'clock, the Dow. Now they've fallen as much as 260. Plainly, some people think the direction of the economy could be in some sort of doubt here.
Of course, you can't argue with Brad that it's one month, maybe you get a rebound, but I think, is it also because we see the Chinese manufacturing data, you know, losing momentum, still signaling growth, same kind of thing, a purchasing managers index, which is soft, as you point out. Nevertheless, people take it as giving us a signal, manufacturing mixed in Europe, that it's not just what's going on in the U.S., it's a sense that the global economy has lost some steam.
Yeah, unfortunately, purchasing manager surveys have been very important in this overall loss in the Dow of, like, it's, you know, it's over 1,100 points at this point. This is starting to get a real major market debacle here, what's going on. Yeah, I mean, if I look at the official China purchasing manager's number, I mean, nothing looks like anything has changed. There doesn't look anything worrisome in the number. The trend is the same over the last couple of years. It's a little bit closer to the 50 line. Unfortunately, on Thursday, January 23, that flash PMI came out. It went down below 50, and that's being blamed with the stock market's first decline that day. That really changed the trend back there, January 23, and here we have the tail end of this sell-off being caused by the U.S. PMI. It's really a strange set of events here. All we need now is a second week monthly payroll jobs number this Friday, and you know, things could be, people could be talking about, they could say that the outlook in 2014, the economic outlook, isn't as bright as it was that we thought 2 months ago.
Yeah, well, we have to wait and see that, although we spoke earlier today with Jim O'Neill, excuse me, Jim O'Sullivan. Get those Jim O's mixed up. Two great guys. Jim O'Sullivan said he's looking for payrolls to be up 220,000. Now, 220,000 would be, he's thoroughly in the camp that, you know, 78,000, that was weather. You know, the economy's stronger than that. What are you looking for on Friday?
I just put it at the consensus. I think it's about 180,000.
Mm-hmm, 178.
There's no need to stick your neck out. I can see what he's doing. He's saying 74,000 last month. There'll be some catch-up this month. You know, for me, I felt the cold quite directly in my commute every day from New Jersey. And to me, it feels like January was a bitterly cold month, and you know, that number might be a little on the softer side. So I can see both arguments there. That's why I'm going to keep it in the middle, about 180,000 for jobs this Friday.
emerging markets, we must differentiate. We hear that all the time. They're going down for different reasons. But that seems to be another thing that has kind of got investors very nervous right now. What about the Fed taper? There are those who have been so eager for the Fed to start. They need to do it, and they feel that bond buying hasn't done that much for the economy. And then there are those who say, see, we're already seeing the results of the Fed buying fewer bonds. What's your view of how the role Fed tapering does or doesn't play in all this, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, it is important. I think it's more of a signal. I don't think the loss of $10 billion of purchases of government securities and mortgage-backed securities, I don't think the loss of $10 billion Federal Reserve purchases in any given month, that cannot have anything to do with the economy, certainly. I mean, it's not as if QE is these purchases when they are $85 billion. It's not buying stocks. It's not enabling people to buy stocks. It's kind of, you know, it's really more psychological. If you think it's bad, if everyone thinks it's bad that they're going to pull back on QE, then of course it'll be bad. I mean, the economy is very psychological, but you know, I think we can get over it at some point. So I would just counsel to let's get some of these cold weather numbers. Let's get beyond these numbers and take a look at what the economy looks like in March, April, May, like that. I mean, one good thing we saw today is that car sales, car and light truck sales, are going to, I assume, match 15.3 million that they were at in December, if not be a little bit higher. So that's a good sign. Car sales are at remain at a high level, even though we had very cold winter weather. So, I mean, go figure. Not all sectors of the economy are falling apart just due to the cold weather through much of the country.
Mm-hmm. So what is your forecast right now for GDP growth this year?
Well, it's a little bit tricky. I mean, first off, I mean, as the Fed looks at it, fourth quarter last year was surprisingly strong. Part of the reason was due to inventories, which added in the third and fourth quarter of last year. But now consumer spending was strong through December. I mean, if you didn't know, consumer spending right now in the fourth quarter was just as strong as it was during the housing bubble years, you know, 2004, 2005, 2006. We're buying as much now as consumers as we did back then. And that was, you know, at that point, people were cashing out of the ill-gotten gains, if you will, of their rising home value, refinancing and taking money out and making purchases. Now we're spending just as fast, and it's nothing to do with people cashing out of their homes. So the economy looks pretty good. If I had to guess, it's going to stick somewhere around 3% this year. Again, it was 2.7% last year. That's a pretty good rate of advance. And why do we know it's good? We know it's good because the unemployment rate is coming down. And the unemployment rate, please don't ask me if it's coming down because people are dropping out of the labor force. I think it's coming down for the right reason.
But the labor market's getting a little stronger, and we have seen jobless claims.
It's a little stronger, yeah. Payroll and jobs are up 2 million jobs this year.
Any added benefit from this? Once again, year three, where if we came into the year, everybody predicting a rise in bond yields made sense to me, and here we are, that 10-year note back down. It's almost not to 3.5%, but 2.5%.
Ouch. Yeah, I'm one of those saying 3.5%
everybody
by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but you always have to wonder. I mean, it seems like the payroll jobs number really rules the roost when it comes to this direction on bond yields, and all it took was that 74,000 jobs number to get us, you know, bond yields coming down. By the end of the year, I think we're going to be back, and bond yields will be 3.5%. Okay. It isn't the day today to shout from the rooftops that yields are going higher.
Chris Repke is Chief Financial Economist, Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.